It's Cash Color Cannabis, a high level of conversation on live hiphopdaily.tv. And this episode is sponsored by Atlantibus Clothing. Atlantibus Signature Collection, Drug Lord Collection, and Return to Viper Collections are all available for purchase. So head to the website, atlantibusclothing.com, and shop today. And also, this episode is sponsored by the CBD Joint. The CBD Joint creates a unique, dynamic, and informative retail experience to empower individuals to achieve maximum health and wellness using hemp CBD products. Their goal? To become a customer's first choice for all their CBD needs. Head to the CBDJointCollective.com and check out their brick and mortar shop as well at 800 Church Street in Marietta, Georgia. Right, without further ado, man, I got a guest in the building who I've actually wanted to come on for a while. It's my man Gray. He a rapper. he's a rapper. He a superhuman vegan, man. Like he done turned into a lifestyle. He's just a super interesting dude, man. So without further ado, Gray, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Man, thank you for having me, man. Looking forward to it.
No doubt, man. For those who don't know or they're new to the show, can you please just introduce yourself? I mean, I tried to do a good job, but hopefully you can do a better
so,
one.
So, man, I'm a hip-hop artist. Entrepreneur, social entrepreneur, creative activist, I like to say. I have a brand called Plant Based Dripping. Just two simple rules: eat healthy, be dope. Yeah. No matter what you do, just be healthy and doing it. And yeah, man, I love music. That's the life, you know.
That's what's up, man. Well, I know music wasn't your first love, if I'm not mistaken, man. You was an athlete first, weren't you?
I was an athlete, yes. Yeah. But music was my first. Yeah. But yeah, I played ball, man. I played high school football and college football.
Word, yeah. Man. You know, and you're not the first athlete turned something else who's been on the show. I'm always interested in the transition that made you go from being an athlete and being on that rigorous schedule and being consistent with this every day of your life to transitioning to something else. Like, what was that thought process like?
I started rapping when I was 13 before I was playing ball. And then my boy just said, man, you too soft to play football in ninth grade. And I said, all right, I'm finna play football to show you.
Yeah.
And then I got good at it and got offered a scholarship. So when I went to college to play ball, I stopped doing music. I was doing music all the way up and down. But then it's really a work schedule, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You working around the clock. When I graduated from college, and then like 2 years after, I just got the itch to get back into it. You know what I mean? I never really left, but to really pursue it, to go into open mics and record my first project and stuff like that.
And you from Florida, right?
From Florida, yep. South Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, boy, that Florida life, man. You know, y'all breed football players out here.
That's it, man. Florida, Cali, and Texas, man. It's the best players in the world for it.
Yeah, man. But when it comes to rap, I feel like, you know, if I was following your progression correctly, when it comes to rap, you actually cut your teeth in Maryland. Like, somehow we went from Florida to Maryland, and you get caught up on that scene. Yeah, I did my digging, man.
Yes, sir.
I did my Nardawar life.
I like it, man.
So how'd you get from Florida to Maryland? And then what made you want to jump into their rap scene?
It was love. You know, I was in love with a girl.
There you go.
And she was from Baltimore, and she went to school in Florida. So I met her in Florida. But then she was like, if you love me, you'll come back to Baltimore with me. I'm like, man, all right, I'll go. I just went up there, man. And had a job waiting for me, and that was that, man. I went from South Florida to damn snow.
Yeah.
And but at that time, that was around the hunger time when I was like back into the music. So I just sniffed out any open mic I can find. I lived in Laurel, Maryland, which is like 30 minutes from Baltimore, 30 minutes from DC. So I would go back and forth from DC to Baltimore hitting any open mic I can find. You know what I mean? And it started there. Really, like, the open mic scene started in Baltimore.
And the crazy part, you know, as close as they are, they're still two different, drastically different rap scenes.
Man, and I couldn't get it. I'm like, y'all live so close, but yet y'all so different and hate each other.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, I ain't gonna say, you know, but that, you know, it was definitely like, you know, DC didn't mess with Baltimore, and Baltimore didn't mess with DC for some reason. And I was just trying to bring them both together because I was meeting dope artists in both arenas, man, and they was like, man, that's just too far for me to go to Baltimore.
Look, DC treat Baltimore people like a stone mountain,
right. Yeah, I mean, it's a hike away or whatever, but it was fun, man. Learned a lot. You know?
Word. When I first met you, and we was just talking about this, I actually met you at the bar exam. And for those who don't know, the bar exam was a dope event my man Mike Sick used to put on.
Yes,
it literally was. It was a thing. I tell people, bar exam was the thing that made me love hip hop again. Like, to go to Apache Cafe, to see people pay money to eat food, to watch open mic, watch people cut, you know what I mean? Like, that was amazing.
Love
and one night I was there, you were on the stage. You know what I mean? Mm. And I see this dude, Gray, get on. And at first, I was thinking, hey, he ain't going to rap. He had the beard. I feel he's going to be on some Philly shit. He's about to shoot up the stage. Nah, my man got up there and did literally what the bars ain't supposed to do, which is give a lyrical display of excellence, man. And you know, I'll never forget you from that moment. But what brought you to Atlanta in the first place? You know what I mean? To even get involved in that scene?
Well, we started while I was still living in Baltimore, me and my dog, Big Guy, we started sniffing out open mics in Atlanta. I was like, bro, we got to get to Atlanta. And the Bar Zam was one of the first open mics that I've ever hit or showcased here in Atlanta. And just the love from that was like people was clapping for me, like that didn't even know me. Yeah. So I was like, bro, we got to move here at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
says everybody who comes to Atlanta.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, like, because in Baltimore, up north, bro, you don't get that kind of love.
No,
everybody just mean mugging you, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I was like, bro, I got to move to Atlanta. So when the opportunity came and me and the girl was no longer together, my job had a office in Atlanta, so they had an opening. I was like, shit, I'm trying to move to Atlanta.
Man, you know he got saying? Out of love and then fell in love with hip-hop, so I'm moving to Atlanta now.
That's it, man. And I came here, what, 2015? Yeah, 2014, my bad, October 2014.
Bro, I never forget seeing you on stage, man. Yeah, you bullied it. I was like, I like rapping, you know what I mean? Like, I was telling you before, you, Mike Sick, Z Rich, like, I know some people who I feel like they rap in they sleep, you know what I mean?
So,
did you have any inspirations when it came to rhyming? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there anybody who kind of put the battery in your back when it comes to deciding how I'm about to be a lyricist, how I'm about to approach this mic, how I'm about to approach this crowd? Like, who are your inspirations?
Absolutely. Bone Thugs and Harmony, number one.
Really?
Absolutely, man. That was my introduction to hip hop. Was Bone.
Let me tell you, that's the second first ever. You know what I mean? I remember when shout out to Keisha Plum and Griselda, Griselda. I remember she came on here and said that Cormega inspired her. And I was like, you the first I keep hearing. I never heard nobody say Cormega, and I've never heard anybody say Bone Thugs until right now. So yes, Bone sir. Was yours.
Bone was mine, man. And then I went back and got into you know, the Grace, man, Pac, Biggie, Nas, Pun and all that. But I was from Florida too. So East 1999 was my Bible,
yeah,
and so was www.thug.com from Trick Daddy was my Bible, man. Like to this day, that's one brother, bro. Like, I ain't never starstruck on nobody. If I meet Trick, bro, I got to get a picture, dog.
Bro, that might be one of the best album covers ever. I need y'all to Google that. Like, that might be one of the best album covers of all fucking time, man.
But I Bone Thugs for sure, and then I would say the most influential, Bone was probably the one that did it.
That's what's up, man.
I used to print out their lyrics in elementary school, and middle school. And then when I get to middle school, boy, I can rap it like nobody can rap as fast as me. You know what I mean? Like in the Bone lyrics. So I thought I was gonna be the sixth member of Bone Thugs and Harmony. I used to call the 900 number, run up my mama's tab on the phone, bro. I'm from South Florida, right?
Yeah.
So it's 90 degrees outside, dog. I swear on everything. I would walk outside in the fifth grade with jeans on, Timberlands on, no shirt on, jean jacket, and a hoodie, trying to look like creeping on the come up
type. Hot for no reason, hot extra hot.
No reason, bro. They had a major influence, man. So, yeah. And it came full circle, bro. No lie. I got to meet all five of them, man. And that was like, that was it, man. You know.
Though I love the fact you're a rap fan too. You know what I mean? That's crazy. So when it comes to lyricism, though, like I don't want to over exaggerate. You are sharp with the lyricism, but lyricism is something that's kind of becoming a dying art in hip hop nowadays. You know, we definitely put a higher preference on the production, who's doing the beat. And I feel like people are not moving away from lyricism, but lyricism itself is not becoming as celebrated as I feel as it used to be. Do you feel the same way, or do you feel like lyricism still does exist in music?
I think the people who really, truly follow hip-hop culture, and if you're an artist and you want to contribute to hip-hop culture, you're still going to put lyrics up there, and you're still going to seek artists who have that lyrical content and that are pushing the culture forward. You got to just see, and you got to look at the history of who owns rap music. You know, not necessarily hip-hop, but who owns rap music and pushes that agenda out there. They're getting away from the lyrics, and it's more into the music. So the young kids, you know. I would say that it's not like, you know, in the 90s where we champion lyrics. But I think like there's great hip hop artists out there now, young kids, bro, that are still holding that lyricist, you know, that lyrics up there. So I would have to agree and sort of disagree, because I think there's still great artists out there, and nobody's listening to the radio anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the back then it was all about, we got to get on the radio, got to get on the radio. We don't have to get on the radio no more. The only ones that they playing on the radio is toxic to the culture, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, the culture really hasn't moved that far from where it started out as. And I say this because as you were talking, I was thinking about Third Base when they had when they was doing Gas Face initially. And he was talking about, you know, sign your life on the X, but X, what you really get, a box of Newports and some Puma sweats. Mm. That what was happening then is still happening now. You just up the ante. You know what I'm saying? Now it's not a pack of, you know, they give you your own liquor line or some shit like that. But nothing has, it's not really veered that far off. I wish we could see, I think the thing I do love now, though, is the independence. Like you say, right now, you don't necessarily need a radio station. You don't necessarily need a label. But, you know, people are still trapped in that mind state. Like, I hate hearing people say, I don't need a label. And then if Gucci Mane says I'm signing an artist, they telling you to tag them. You know what I mean? Like, make it make sense. Like, make it make sense, bro.
Yeah, man. I feel like, go ahead, finish.
No, you good, man. Yeah, what I was saying was, I feel like there's a contradiction right now, man. Mm-hmm. Like, definitely, I think we need to speak about how, yeah, really, the industry hasn't really changed. Like, every story I've heard, even from how Jay-Z broke his first record, involved payola. Like, nothing has really overly changed in this industry. Mm-hmm. I feel like, one, we need to break out of those shackles, and two, remind yourself that we are independent right now.
Yes.
Bro. Like I say, if you're an independent artist, stay independent. Like, but if you want to be signed, that's also cool too, but just be it.
And I think there's now, especially with the advancement of technology and the access to information, we've seen these stories play out.
Yes.
And now, and it's like,
on repeat.
You fooled me once, you know what I'm saying? Shame on you. But you can't fool me twice, because I didn't know TLC was broke during Waterfalls. Are you kidding me, bro? Yeah. Like, that was a huge record. So when I found that out, it just made me dig into all these sour stories of everybody getting played. And outside of hip hop, I want artists to understand, like we never had really ownership of the music.
No, and that's been the second problem.
You know what I'm saying? And so once I start studying cats like Sam Cooke and Muddy Waters, and you know, people who, Sam was somebody who fought for independence.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then I watch Prince interviews. You know what I'm saying? So I be on the independent stuff. But I think that, independence is the way to go. But a record deal is just a business deal. Mm-hmm. If you don't know business, you shouldn't be so fast to jump into it.
Yeah.
Now, if you know and you understand your business, you make it work for your advantage. Don't go sign a five record deal. You know what I mean? But just, if you're gonna jump into a deal, make sure you know what you're jumping into, and know the event, you know, the outcome that you're gonna get from it.
Facts, man. No 360 deals this year, man. Absolutely. Please. And definitely follow the stories, like you say, of some of the other artists. Like, to see De La Soul on Teen Titans now, and still fighting in 2020, like literally now fighting as a cartoon, Tommy Boy.
Bro.
You know, I had to put my wife on. I was like, you know, you can't, there's nothing on a streaming platform. Like, if I wanted to play Saturday right now, I can't do that. I gotta go find it on YouTube. Bro, she thought wild. I was bugging. Nah, go type them in.
Yep.
That's Tommy Boy still owning they shit and still not allowing them to profit off it.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm all about that. I'm all about the new age music renaissance.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to go straight back to consumer. Don't let nobody tell you that your single's worth 99 cents. Don't let nobody say that your project is $9.99. You know what I mean? Go straight to the consumer. Give them something tangible that they can pass down. All this digital stuff, like, you basically, so you want us to shoot the music videos, record all the content, pay for clamor, and then just get, and then pay to put it on your streaming platform. You know what I mean?
And then just basically pennies? Give it to people. Yeah.
Come on, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, bro. I'd rather sell to $20 project to 20 of my friends, make that whatever, 400, whatever it is, faster in a couple days than wait months to get my $400 check.
We can call that the Nipsey Hussle model, man. But yeah, that's the way it should honestly be. Like you say, like, it's crazy. We're in a world today where I feel like fans are so entitled when it comes to music. Mm-hmm. Like, you almost expect music to be free at this point, and that's not, like you say, from everything that you needed me to do to even catch your attention on this song.
Exactly.
It absolutely can't be free.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? It absolutely cannot be free, man.
Cost money, and I feel like you need to get paid for your sweat equity. You're an artist, bro. Don't let them trick you off your artistry, man. Like, that's worth something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I don't get get into the craze of how many streams I got on Spotify. I got this. Where's the money, dog?
Yeah.
I don't care if you got a billion streams. Yeah. How much money did you make off that billion? $3 million?
Stop telling me about the streams you got on these free platforms that could easily be manipulated and pay you the least. Like, people love telling you, I went platinum on YouTube. YouTube pays you nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
like, stop bragging about that. That's like a Dat Piff plaque. Like, take that. I take that before I take you telling me about YouTube, right? It's crazy. It's literally crazy. Like, even today, I was watching a story about how the Thong Song dude.
Yeah.
By not doing simple due diligence, now the person who wrote Ricky Martin's song owned a bulk of this record. In 2021, I'm learning this. You know what I mean? That's, man. Just, I want y'all to be on your P's and Q's,
right? That's it, man. Do the research and don't do nothing for clout. Like get paid, young brother, like, or sister, like, you know what I mean? We should be getting paid for that, for our art.
Yeah,
you know it's all about that.
Speaking about getting paid for your art, you have a unique way of getting paid for your art right now. Like, you have a new project out.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you got to text this man to get it. I want to get all into this, man. So talk to us about the new album and how fans could actually get said album.
So I got a project. It's called I Wish You Love. Mm-hmm.
It looks like an R&B cover too. Sorry.
Yes, man. It was very much inspired by old R&B and. To be totally honest, Sam Cooke, man. Once I dove into that man's life, bro, I'm still in it. You know what I mean? And I Wish You Love is a song that one of my favorite songs by him. And then the cover, man, I just wanted to, you know, have that R&B appeal. But it's a different side of me, man. And I got a 6-panel digipack that it comes in. So it's old school folds out. Mm. Got all the lyrics. Got all the instrumentals. Got all the acapellas. Got comes with a signed autograph poster, all this stuff. But the only way you can get it is you got to text me 954-280-4080, because this is how I feel. As an artist, you should put out something physical, set a goal for yourself, and say, look, I'm going to put out 100 or 500 units. Once I sell them 500 units, physical, make my money up front, then I'm going to put it on streaming. You know what I mean? So that's what I did with this project and the one before that, Keys to the Vic. Mm-hmm. And I just think that if they're gonna play their game, we should play our game too. You know,
yeah.
And the fans really appreciate it. And don't ever think nobody's buying CDs no more, because they buying a lot of CDs
and vinyl, bro.
and vinyl, big time right now. So yeah, it's called I Wish You Love. It's co-executive produced by my brother Halftime Slim, producer, and then one other track is produced by Ty Marshall of The Official. So.
Word.
Yeah, man, it's dope, man. Check it out.
Word, man. So what's your favorite song on the album?
My favorite song is called It's Yours.
Okay.
And it's basically talking about the world is yours, what you're going to do with it, how long, you know, how you're going to move in it. You can't stay in it all night long, you know what I mean? So make your time well spent while you're here, you know.
Bro, I'm proud of you, man. Yeah, you got to put that work in, man. Make these folks, you know, you got to really train people on how they're going to consume your art. For real.
Sure.
And you can't, like, I feel like now, even people, the fact that we give away so much, you're basically training people to take it for free.
Exactly, man. I follow this other brother's model, and I seen him drop an independent project, made $15,000 in one night. Dame Dash seen it, cashed that in 20 racks. So, man, I released my last project called Keys to the Vic, because I do freestyles in my Crown Vic.
Yeah.
I went and purchased 500 Crown Vic USBs. They look like Crown Vics, and you just pull them apart, boom, got 30 tracks on there. Sold them so quick. I made more money off that one project than I made in my 4 years of streaming checks added up together. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, light bulb went off.
Yeah.
Them streaming, man.
Yeah, man, you gotta be unique, bro. Like literally, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you gotta be unique with how you do these things right now, man. Like, people are smart. They figured out a long time ago they can get it for free. Mm-hmm. What makes you want to buy something?
And if you buy it, I know you're gonna listen to every single song, because
you invested,
you bought it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can do, you know, stream whatever.
Yeah,
listen to this. So, yeah, man, stay creative. Yeah. I tell people all the time, stay creative, man.
Man, talk about being creative. In 2017, you went viral for being super creative, man. during Thanksgiving. And I remember when I first saw the video, I was like, I said again, this boy Gray could rap. Number one, let's get there. This boy Gray could rap. But you went viral with the beans, greens, potatoes, like stupid viral. Like, this man was in millions of views. And, like, again, shit that would have annoyed me. You was living that life for a second, man.
Sure enough,
talk to us about that freestyle. Like, like when you were sitting in the whip and you hit, man, the energy you put in, all that shit. When you hit stop, did you know what that was about to do?
Hell no. Hell no. So I used to freestyle every Friday in my car. And if you look up the hashtag Gray Can't Freestyle, you'll see all of them. I did it for 2 years straight. This was just any other Friday. We just went vegan like 4 months ago, you know what I'm saying, prior to the freestyle. But I jump on Instagram. I see Sway the Remix got beans, green, potato, tomato. And I'm like, dog, this shit hard. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do my freestyle over this beat. And I'm just going to rap about my Thanksgiving this year. You know what I'm saying? Just to put it in perspective, I met Shaq the day before, right? Put him on Instagram. And I had 4,000 followers at the time. It got me 800 views in one day. That's the most I've ever got, you know, 800 views. So boom, I do the freestyle. Before I press send, in my car, I'm like, man, I took a long breath. I don't know if I should post this shit. And then I thought for a second, like, fuck it, just post. I posted the shit. Man, within 30 minutes, I get on there, it's 1,500 views. I'm like, what the I'm going in my, you know, my comments, like, what the hell is going on? I'm trying to respond to everybody. As soon as I hit refresh, 3,500. I'm like, oh my God. Kept going, bro. I went from 4,000 followers that night to 15,000 the next morning to 25 the next day to 35 the next day. And it like leveled off. You know what I mean? And then it grew every year that I did that freestyle again. But man, from an artist perspective, you thinking like every freestyle that you do, you would love to have that reaction. Like it felt good that someone appreciated the work, you know. But off of fucking vegan freestyle, dog, out of all the serious shit.
But it was hard. You know what I mean? But it was hard. It was hard, bro. It was hard. In fact, when you got to the point about mashed potatoes, you can put your hands in it. I'm like, rapping, hey, boy, rapping out here.
Everything that you can imagine came through in that DM off of beans, green, and potato. I'm talking about from the rooter to the tutor. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't even believe it, dog. You know, off a damn, bro, I'd have vegan.
Been, the way my anxiety's set up, man, I'd have been scared. Like I'm getting close to 10,000 followers, and I'm like, I don't know what to do about this right now. You know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen next? Like, am I going to blow up?
Yeah, no, it was love, man. It was a great experience. Getting notoriety from Peter to fucking Ebro to Ellen Golden to DL Hughley to Russell Simmons, bro. When he posted that shit, I lost my mind. I was just like, yeah, that shit was crazy, bro.
Yo, did anybody reach out to you for any collabs? Like, did CeCe Winans? Did she?
No. CeCe Winans?
Yeah, she'd have been. I would have hoped.
Mm-mm. Oh, you talking about the girl?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Shirley Caesar.
Shirley Caesar. I thought My fault. Yeah, my fault. Yeah, Shirley Caesar. I'm tripping.
Yeah.
My bad.
Oh, yeah. She reached out. She Shirley reached out Caesar. With her lawyer.
Yeah. Let me start. Yeah. My mom. Let me go Shirley Caesar. Did she really?
Oh, hell yeah.
To do what?
She tried to sue $5 million. Yeah. She ain't like a lot of that. She ain't like nothing. Yeah. And I couldn't even believe it.
Mama, no.
We weren't selling it.
Yeah.
So I never responded back to the lawyer, and that was that. And then I reached out to Suede, and Suede, they killed the whole thing. They ain't even – so I guess they dropped the case.
Yeah, but who's you even mad about? Like, if I'm not selling this and I'm just doing a freestyle and this was already created, I can't believe – come on, Shirley.
I know, man.
Come on, Shirley Caesar.
Yeah, it was wild, man. But collabs
– I would have thought she would have wanted to get on that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I don't think she liked the fact y'all took the video of her sweating like that on stage. And, like, serious. You know what I mean? Like, black women are real particular about certain shit. She didn't like the fact y'all took that video of her sweating like that on stage after giving a good lecture to the choir.
I can see that. But now, you know, I gained like, you know, some friends. But not no, like, you know, major collaborations or anything like that on the music tip.
I like the video that came with it, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, the video was crazy.
Yeah, that's when it went viral. I said, okay, I gotta write the second. So we shot did the freestyle on November 12th. It went viral. I said, okay, I gotta write a second verse. I wrote the second verse on November 13th or 14th. Then on the 16th, we shot the music video. That was that, man. And that was history, man.
That's crazy. And then dope. Shirley Caesar come through, was like, yo, hold up.
Yeah, hold up. Nah, I need my cut. I'm like, we ain't even getting no cut.
Oh, 5 million too. Oh, boy, she was mad about that picture.
Bro, it was wild.
Man. That's crazy, man. You know, and it goes with your lifestyle though. Like you went vegan, like you say, 4 months prior to that.
Yeah. So I'm reading all these messages, bro, and it was like, man, you're so dope. You're like, this video saved my life. This video got us doing our first vegan Thanksgiving this year. I didn't know you can have greens and sweet, you know, yams and stuff like that. And then somebody was like, bro, you my hero. And I just had to take a step back, like, what the fuck did I get myself into? I don't even know about veganism. I don't know about this whole community that came out of nowhere, you know. And then I just, a light bulb went off. I just said, damn, the way that, you know, the food made me feel, while people was joking on me, while it made me feel good, I know I can rap. Shit. How about using my skill to help empower and educate, you know what I'm saying, people that to be healthy and,
yeah,
be cool, and not be in a corny way, you know what I'm saying, from an authentic place. And that's when I felt like I had a purpose, man. And that's when I came up with the brand Plant-Based Dripping, because I wanted to convey that same message, how people thought I wasn't preaching to them with the rap. Wanted the same way to come off with the shirt. So I didn't want to be like vegan, you know. I wanted people to read and be like, what the hell is that? What you talking about?
You know what I mean? Dripping, I feel you. So, is tofu turkey good?
Hell yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, that was the thing that threw me. I was like, I don't know about tofu turkey. Oh, I want some mashed potatoes.
Nah, trust me. You still got mashed potatoes. You still got the gravy. Bro, I'm telling you, bro. Tofurkey, I think just to be honest, the best one is Trader Joe's.
Really?
Yeah, when they come out with they roast, get that thing, bro. It's good, bro.
You know, last year the BBC did a report about how more African Americans are actually moving towards vegan lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you feel like we are seeing our community now move more towards a plant-based life?
Because the bean, creams, beans, potatoes, man.
No, hey, hey, it might be, bro.
I think it's just the access to information. Yeah. Well, understanding that the number one cause is health issues. It's not the police. It ain't gang. It ain't no violence. It's what we do three times a day right here. Mm. So if we can see that we can still have, so you can still have vegan pizza. You can still have vegan chicken parmesan. You can still have vegan pot, like anything veganized, you know, and it's going to make me healthier, you know what I'm saying? Why not? I would like to think that it's just access to information, and that we're starting to really see a correlation between the food that we eat, and start to look around and say, damn, I know everybody that you know has somebody sick in their family coming in on a cane or something like that, and it's because of dietary issues.
Yeah.
And they love to tell us that it's hereditary. No, it's only hereditary because you ate what your mama ate, she ate what your grandma ate, your grandma ate what, you know.
All y'all
saying?
Lived in the same house.
So if you when I, cause I'm a living testimony, bro. I played college ball, bro. I ate everything under the sun. 35 chicken wings in one sitting. I used to do the shit. Ribs, you name it. Even when I was playing ball, running 110s, lifting all that shit, I would still check my blood pressure and would read like a risk. And I'm like, bitch, I got a six pack. You know what I mean? Soon as I went vegan, bro, 2 weeks later, I went to check my shit. My shit went past the green to the blue. So while motherfuckers are kicking and all that, I say, dog, I know what I'm feeling is legit, because now it's been proved that my blood pressure down. My mental's clearer. You know what I'm saying? I used to feel like this hardness on me, especially around, like, you get in the room as a man that you don't know, you gotta be like, you know, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, you know, and that shit went away. Like, birds were chirping, you know what I'm saying? And I was more like peace, love, vibrations, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it's what we eat, because that pig or the steak or whatever, right before it dies, that motherfucker scared and shit, boom, and get killed. It's all tense. Who you think? They gonna chop that shit up with all the properties inside of that meat. You take it, you saute it, you eat the fucking depression, the anger, all that shit. I'm telling you, bro, and you got this hard feeling.
Ooh, you just guilted me out of these chicken wings tonight.
Nah. And once I made that correlation and started doing research, I was just like, damn, you know, it is. It's a correlation to how we think. It's a correlation to how we feel. You know, if you look at people, okay, they skinny as fucking high school, okay? They come back 20 years later, they blown up, they feeling out. You know what I'm saying? It's not normal. And I ain't saying that, it's not normal. We just continue to eat stuff that fill us out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you meet vegan, about, oh, man, you shriveling away type shit. You know what I mean?
I thought that, you know, because when I first met you were heavier. You know what I mean? And as I watch you lose weight. But like you say, it make you happier, man. And don't let them hate on you, because I be working out, and you should have seen the jokes I got when I first started working out. And now it's like, oh, man, yo, we need to get together. Nah, dog, get together. Keep hating.
That's the same thing, man. It's a process, you know?
Yeah.
And now they're like, man, all right, how you make that vegan mac and cheese,
exactly,
man?
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was a lifestyle change, and it birthed a purpose for me. And I think that I think vegan is the new black, you know what I'm saying? And let me tell you why I think, like, how it helped me transition is you can't fight oppression. A lot of oppression you can't fight, right? It's just outside of your control. But one thing is for sure, redlining laws were for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They took a fucking red marker, marked off the sections of black people, and you know what I'm saying? Said they can't have access to good food. They can't have access to good education. No house loan, shit like that. So you leave us with McDonald's, motherfucking liquor stores on every corner, chicken wing spots on every corner. It's not that we love that shit. It's there and they market to us. Mm-hmm. They spend billions of dollars marketing just to us to eat that bullshit. And we die first from that bullshit. So if I can protect this shit, they ain't gonna get me that way.
Yeah.
So I'm fighting the pressure. So it's like, yeah, you can have at it, but bitch, you ain't gonna kill me with the number one way that we all dying and that they're banking on me to go eat that bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't saying it's bullshit.
No, it's bullshit. No, you're right, man. I feel guilty. Like, you just guilted me out of this weight tonight.
And it's not guilt, man. It's like Western society. We got to just look at the bigger world. America loves to tell us, like, we're the greatest on the planet, and this is, like, the way we should do things. The world is so huge, bro. We're the people with the most incarcerated people, the most fucking obese people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I say incarcerated, yeah. So it's just like, yeah, bro, that's not the way to have meat with every fucking meal. That's not we allowed to cuss on her?
Yeah,
okay. Cuss on her. that's not normal. It's not normal, bro. And you know when you go to the gas station and the Indians are selling you that crispy, crunchy chicken, but you see what they eating. They eating that motherfucking China masala back there with the rice. And I asked them, I say, bro, how many times you eat meat a week? Like, 2 times, 3 times. You know, we eat meat fucking 3 times a day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, it's an Americanized thing at this point. You know absolutely. What I mean? Like, it's what you do. It's absolutely. What we do.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking of plant-based life, you know what I'm saying? Cannabis is a plant, man.
Yes, it is.
How you feel about that life, ooh. Man? When the first time you experienced the cannabis life?
Oh, man. I was 8 years old when I first smoked the J.
Really?
Swell on everything.
Man, all y'all's younger than me. Like, every single person I asked this question was younger than me.
But I've been like an avid smoker since I was probably like like 14, 15, something like that. But I'm gonna tell you what fucked me up though, man. I'm a cannabis advocate, you know what I'm saying? So I dig the whole movement and I know the power of the plant now, and I understand why they try to say it's illegal, you know, and stuff like that. But it fucked me up after I went vegan. There was this hippie white boy was like, "Yo, bro, I gotta meet you, bro. I grow my own weed out here. It's vegan weed." I'm like, vegan weed? Yeah, weed is vegan. It's a fucking plant. I get it. He's like, "Nah, bro." He shows me. He don't use no horse manure in the medium that he grows, right? So no chemicals, right? Bro, when I tell you there's a difference between the shit that I got right here or that come in them packs and what that man grows on his farm, dog, it's just like food. Like, you eat the sloppy, you know, you eat heavy food, you like, whew, I got itis. But if you eat something light, you know what I'm saying? It's light and refreshing. Same shit with the weed,
bro. Just blew my mind.
I swear on everything, bro. And it blew my mind because my high was going this way as opposed to being slapped. You know what I mean? I was going up and it was light and it was refreshing as opposed to like, damn, bro, I can't, you know what I mean, barely move or type shit. So there is a difference. There is vegan weed, and I would love to introduce that to you one
please.
Day and try to get some.
Bro,
dog,
vegan,
you know
weed,
what I mean?
Let's get into this, man, one day. You know, because I tell you, you know, it's crazy because I've toyed with trying to be vegan my whole life. I used to play ball when I was in high school and in college. Mm-hmm. And I literally remember freshman year, I told my girlfriend I'm going to go vegan. And my thought of going vegan was just eating pizza and drinking water. Like, I was like, like, seriously, it was just drinking cheese, pizza, and eating water. Yeah. And I remember this dude I was working out with. I told him I was doing. He said, "Man, so you swapped out regular food and you just now eating grease and water?" And as he said that, I was like, damn, basically. But I've always wanted to do that. Like, I wanted to get into that lifestyle, but it's just so hard, man. I really do love, like, chicken. Like, I really, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do love a good steak. Like, it's hard, bro. What would you say to somebody like myself who I've been on the fence, but I ain't been on the fence so hard that I won't go to a barbecue?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you choose one day a week, you know what I'm saying? I would like to say two, but start with Mondays. Meatless Mondays. Every motherfucking Monday, you don't eat no meat, you don't eat no cheese, you try your best. And when I say try your best, if you're going to get a snack, turn that bitch over and look at the ingredients. If it say it got milk in it, put that shit back. You'll be surprised what got milk in it. Peanuts got fucking milk in it, some of them, you know what I mean? But champion that for a couple weeks and see how you feel on Monday all day as you feel on Tuesday or Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? And then you gotta do two things if you're gonna go vegan. You either gotta cook or find somebody that cooks. Like a, you know what I'm saying? My girl Chef Nikki in the mix, she the one that transitioned me. And then you gotta do your research.
Yeah.
So, meaning you don't gotta go get books and study encyclopedias, but you gotta follow vegan influencers that are more on the nutrition side. So they'll tell you where to get your B12 or your protein or your iron and shit like that. But I would say if you could do Monday and Wednesdays, that'd be perfect. You do Monday and Wednesday, no meat, no cheese, bro. I'm telling you, you're going to be like, on Monday and Wednesday, I just feel too good. I know it's good, but if I eat it, I ain't going to be as productive. I'm going to feel like I got to sleep. So, you know, and then now, bro, there's so many vegan recipes. People ask me all the time, Google is fucking king, man. Type in vegan jambalaya, vegan fried chicken. You're going to find it. They got recipes out there. You know what I mean?
All right, man. I'm not going to commit right now, but we're going to try that. Meatless Monday. We're going to pick a day, and I'm going to go meatless.
And I'm going to get you a plant-based dripping hoodie so you wear it on Monday so you always look down.
Plant-based today. That's what I got to do. My boy, I appreciate you coming through tonight.
Absolutely.
You've been an inspiring guest. Let our fans know where they can go find you again and how they can cop the album.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram, Official Grey Music. That's G-R-E-Y Music. The brand is Plant-Based Dripping. And then hit me up on the line for the new project, I Wish You Love. It's 954-280-4080. That's my real number. Text me. And, I'll send you the link.
That's what's up. And that's Cash Color Campus, high level of conversation. And who knows, I might be plant-based dripping very soon.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what's up. We out.